Please welcome Microsoft General Manager, Office, Jared Spataro.
Well, good morning, everybody. Backstage, as we finished Colleen's presentation, somebody turned to me and said, "So what are you giving away, Spataro?" Lollipops, actually, is what I got. Sorry. Well, it's good to be here today. I'm really excited to talk about the new Office. We have been working so hard in Office to modernize it, to really adapt to the way people are working today. And over the course of the next little bit, my session today, I hope to tell you about that new Office, how we're thinking about it, how we developed it, what the core themes are, and most importantly, to show it to you. I think seeing it in action is a great way to go. We launched Office 2016 2 weeks ago, in fact, to the day. And in preparation for that, I spent a bunch of time on the road, meeting with reporters and analysts and customers and others, talking about the new Office. What's very interesting about Office 2016 is if you open it, you'll see that there aren't very many big UI changes. Now, unfortunately, we have trained the market to assess how big a release is based on how much we change the UI. And so when I first met people, they'd say, "Oh, there must not be very much here. There must not be a big difference." And what I like to help them see is that, in fact, we think of Office 2016 as the most important, biggest release we have done for 30 years. We started releasing Office in the late 80s, in fact, on the Mac, if you remember all the way back until then. And we see this as a super pivotal release. Here's why. Up until this point, for almost three decades with Office, we have been focused on a single use case. I would describe that as a use case that was born out of the desktop publishing revolution. That's what Office was all about. If you think of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, it is based on the idea of printing, that you're essentially going to print something out, that what you're working on is a document and you want to make beautiful documents to print out, and most of the time you're kind of banging out those documents on your own. Well, for us, we kind of call that me work. It's the work that you do on your own, at your PC, largely tethered to a Windows device and kind of working as hard as you can. For Office 2016, we are changing me work to WeWork. The big theme for Office with this release and going forward is how we're introducing collaboration, how people can use Office not only to work on their own, but to work with other people, how they can go from having it be the bookend of a process where you start and maybe finish a document, but everything else happens in between in different tools, to being the entire process. We want Office to be the way people work together and not just the tool that they use to do their own personal work. So today I'm going to talk to you about that theme. We are very excited about it. We certainly weren't the first people to get here. We have other competitors that have done interesting things to push the state of the art. Today I want to show you what we have done with Office 2016. First, let me start by saying work has changed so much. If you think about your day, I'm sure you can imagine what is different from how you used to work 5 or 10 years ago. I have been at Microsoft now for just over 9 years, and if I think about what Microsoft was when I arrived and what it is today, it makes me laugh because we are so different. We used to be on 3-year release cycles, and today we literally release things every week, at least every month, and we'll talk more about that release cycle. And for me, the clock speed of my industry, I'm sure it's the same in yours, has just increased incredibly. Here you see a list of the shift from old to new. I won't belabor the point and go through each one, but I'm sure you can relate to many of these, if not all. Moving from customers to brand ambassadors, looking at security in different ways, thinking about how intelligence has changed and what we expect of our tools. A lot has changed in the way people work. Now, if we think about who really embodies this work, for us, it is the students of the world, and as those students graduate, it is the millennial hire. These are folks, as you see, that are always mobile, literally mobile first in many cases. They're always on the go. They collaborate early, often, and frankly, always. When you go talk to someone in K-12, certainly in higher ed, and say, "How do you think about writing a doc?" No one thinks about writing a doc on their own. They collaborate with other people. That's just the way they get things done. And they have literally grown up on social networks. That's the way they think about connecting with other people. I have 4 kids at home right now. My oldest is 17. They go 17, 15, 13, and 9. So I've got 3 teenagers at home. Anybody else have teenagers out there? Come on, you're feeling my pain. I definitely, it's a new place for me to be. My oldest is a senior in high school, and we had this totally interesting conversation about social networks just this past weekend that was very relevant to this. He has just started dating a girl, and I was asking him, "Hey, what's the relationship like?" And he paused for a moment, and he said, "Well, You know, we have, well, I do have some signals to tell me what it's like. I was thinking back to my high school days and thinking, yeah, I can imagine some signals. I wonder what he's going to say next. He said, you know, I mean, you know, we do Snapchat a lot, and we've got this this snap streak that's been running for 22 days. I'd ask him what a snap streak is, by the way. That's when you have Snapchatted with someone consecutively for days. He says, that's the best of my friends. I said, oh, that's great. He said, you know, and also my friends have noticed that Anna and I, that's her name, have recently earned the best friend badge on Snapchat. And that's kind of generated a ton of discussion in the high school. And I'm thinking, yeah, I used to pass notes, I guess, and when I was in high school. And then he went on to just talk about how social networking was just a part of what he did. And for a moment, I realized, whoa, this kid's grown up in a totally different way, totally different planet than I experienced. And when he thinks about connecting with other people, as our millennial hires do, they just have totally different expectations. So it's a very interesting world that we're growing up in. And it's interesting to think about how the tools can help us do more. What I wanted to do now is to cut to a video of a company that kind of embodies how people are using the office tools to kind of take some of these principles, always mobile, always on the go, this idea of intelligence you'll see, this idea of social networking and kind of the dynamic nature, and introduce a brand new business to you. It's called Rent the Runway. Let's take a look at it, and then I'll relate it to where we're going with office. Let's roll the film if we can, please.
Our vision is that everyone in the world is going to have a subscription to fashion. Jenny and I are two co-founders who didn't have any experience in technology, fashion, or logistics, who founded a fashion logistics technology company.
Excel became our master database where every single piece of our inventory was. We called it the Bible.
We actually called an Excel document the Bible. I think we lean a lot more towards data here than we do towards intuition.
Our buyers are looking at what's been successful in the past and making real-time decisions on what to buy and market depending on that data. Microsoft Office is a universal language where we know we can constantly exchange ideas and continue to iterate and innovate in our business.
We are going to disrupt and transform the way that women interact with their wardrobes.
So I didn't even know you could disrupt the way women interact with their wardrobes, it turns out. But, you know, there's a couple statements in there we just love, like calling Excel or an Excel spreadsheet the Bible. We were giving each other belly bumps here back in Redmond. But what we love about this is that business is not a business I could have thought of. I still actually am not totally sure it's for me. It isn't for me, but my wife assures me it has a wonderful audience out there. But it's not a business people would have thought of a couple of years ago. And what we're seeing, I hope you see this as well, is that technology has moved from being disruptive in just the tech circles to being the way that all sorts of industries are disrupting the way business gets done. Think of Uber and its disruption of a very sleepy taxi business. Think of Airbnb and its disruption of what was a very interesting kind of business for leisure and entertainment. So lots and lots of stuff happening out there. Well, what is happening? One of the big shifts that's motivating how we think about the new office is what you see on the screen. It is the idea that just as kind of evidence with the way that those two women were thinking about their business, that we're moving from these kind of traditional hierarchies to much more responsive networks, networks of buyers, networks of people who go out and on our behalf kind of pull together services and goods for us. So there's a lot happening. And networks often, particularly when there's a lot of change, are able to react much more quickly than these traditional hierarchies can. So hierarchy kind of coming out of World War II and what happened in the world there. Even beyond that, in traditional hierarchies, of course, we see that we kind of deal with fixed workforces, these silo problems. And what the network effect allows us to do is to pull on people, and particularly in teaming scenarios, what we see is the big trend, and I'm sure you see this as well, is teams that form, come together on a particular project, disband and reform with the resources to go attack another problem in an organization. So a really different type of behavior. And of course, we feel like the productivity tools that people use have to adapt to all of this. So what are we doing about it? And what can I show you here today? Well, we have been super focused on what we think are these new trends, the way the world is being defined and how people think about them. And we have come up essentially with three really big key themes. The first is this idea of dynamic networks and collective value creation. You'll hear us call this co-creation. So much of what's happening today, whether you look at the devices that we just showed you, you look at devices from our competitors, you look at the technology and what's happening, doesn't happen because one person has a good idea. It happens because we're pulling experts together from all across the world to get it done. So co-creation, we think, is just key to the new economy. Second big thing for us is this idea of intelligence. Increasingly, certainly my son, certainly the folks that are coming up into the workforce today, expect the tools that they use to be smart. They expect those tools to help them get their jobs done. They expect them to help them find insights that will help them to get more done with less time and less resources. So this idea that the tools themselves should be intelligent is really, really important. And then finally, this idea that security is not going away. In fact, security becomes an even bigger part of our world going forward. That's not just for organizations, but also for individuals. And we think that security moving out of the server room into the boardroom is an incredibly important, compelling trend that we need to make sure that we stay on top of, even for productivity tools. So what I'd like to do then is to take these three themes and to show you what we're doing with them, mostly through demo, to give you a sense for, you know, what's Office doing, not only today, but where are we taking the products in the future. We're going to start off here with this idea of teamwork and being made for networks. We have, as we think about transitioning Office, what we're really excited about is going from that core scenario where someone is working on a document on their own and expanding out from there. And so I just want to move over to the demo now and actually give you a sense for what that looks like. This should be fairly familiar to people. It is actually essentially the start screen for Microsoft Word. This is Word 2016. It looks very much like what you'll be familiar with if you use Word on a daily basis. You can see here that I can look at a bunch of templates. Up top here in the 2013 version of Office, for the very first time, we asked people to sign in. And that ability to know the user allows us to do some pretty amazing things. Let me show you. Over on the left-hand side, we have a list of my recent documents. And this list of recent documents follows me around across my devices. So as I open up something on my Android tablet or iPhone, I will see that list change and actually show me what I've been working with here on my Surface. I'm going to open up this carbon 3D printing proposal. It's a cloud-based document, so you see it loading here. And immediately you see up top here this welcome back. Remember, again, that because we're able to be more intelligent now and track the work that you're doing, we can actually take you to the place that you left off. And that's literally what this message tells me. Pick up where you left off. You were here in this 3D printing proposal. If I click here, it literally will take me right back to the section that I was working on previously. Now, this is the place where people have known Word as a word processor literally for almost three decades. This is where I start banging out everything that I have to pour into this document to make it a beautiful document. Everything you'd expect to be here, everything, for instance, from reviewing type of capabilities down into kind of rich editing capabilities, it's all here. But in Office 2016, we made some subtle changes that we think changed the game in a really significant way. I'll start by just going up here to the top right and clicking this share button. Now, when I do, what you'll see is a new kind of artifact, a part of the overall look and feel and behavior of Word, and in fact, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, increasingly the other apps that we're pushing out. I have a sharing panel that allows me right from this interface to share just by entering people's email addresses. I can adjust the permissions associated with this. Again, this is a cloud document. I can also change how people see those changes, always or essentially real time or with certain types of updates. I can see who's in the document right now. So these are the folks who have access to the document. I can see that I'm literally editing, that Garth can edit. In fact, we've created a view link and an edit link that I can share with people. And I've explicitly granted permissions to Alex Darrow. And right from this interface, I can click into our Skype, what we call in-app Skype integration, and Skype with Alex. Just going to click him. He's backstage here helping me out. And Alex will receive a message. What's really cool about this is Alex doesn't have to be on Skype for Business. Remember that our strategy with Skype and Skype for Business is to allow companies, organizations to deploy Skype for Business, and that could connect out to any of the free Skype endpoints. That's a federation between Skype for Business and Skype, super, super powerful. Alex has responded. I can share my desktop, what we call graceful escalation. I can move to just a normal voice call, or I can even move to a video call. And I'm going to go ahead and start that up and move to a video call. I have to move just a little bit so people can see me. We'll give it a moment for backstage for it to ring. And there he is. Hello, Alex. There we go. And then if I minimize, I can get his head there floating with me. Now, think. I've gone from working on a document on my own to sharing the document, to now, within literally just three clicks, having a very rich collaborative experience. I want to do one last thing to round out that collaborative experience and show you how we can edit the document together. Here I'm in the 3D printing proposal. So Alex, if you can hear me backstage, I'm at the 3D printing proposal right around about our product. And I can go ahead and edit the document by typing here. And then we can work together collaboratively. And Alex should be coming up. Uh-oh, he's shaking his head. That's a bad omen for me here. And what you'll see is those collaboration flags pop up, and we'll see the real-time typing. And we may need to come back if we have to. I'm gonna cut out of there for a second. But what's really exciting about this is, for the first time ever, what most people don't know is Google introduced real-time typing into the browser. We've caught up to them over the last couple of years. In fact, if you go take a look at Google versus Microsoft, we're feeling awesome about how we compare in the browser. And essentially what we have done is we have integrated that into the rich client here. And with the rich client, you're able, first starting in Word, and then over time as we add it to PowerPoint and Excel, you're able to actually do some real-time typing. It looks like Alex is having just a little bit of trouble. I would like to try that again, because that's impressive to see. Alex, in just a moment, I'll come back. You can see if you can connect. That would be great. Okay, what I love about this, however, is the integration in the entire experience. Again, when I showed this to most people during our launch, what they loved is this, they could see, was opening to the door to a whole new set of experiences. There's Alex. Whew, all right. And off he goes to be able to type. A whole new set of experiences where people could work together. And we're very excited about this. You should remember that for us, this is the beginning of a journey of Office becoming collaborative, just like the iPad release for us when Satya first became CEO was the beginning of a mobile journey. We introduced the iPad apps, and then successively over the coming quarters, we introduced Android apps, iPhone apps, apps across all different form factors, and that's exactly what we're doing here. We're starting with real-time typing in Word, and we'll continue to build this out. We'll talk more about how that will kind of be rounded out over time. So not only are people working in documents or around documents, but we see the need for people to work in what we'd call kind of more persistent groups or teams. And for this next part of the demo, I'm going to take you right down into Outlook. We've made some really important changes to Outlook that help people to be more collaborative. One of the first is a very simple affordance that we think is going to make all the difference in how people are actually able to collaborate. To do that, I'll show you what we call modern attachments. In a modern attachment, you go to your message, you come here to attach file, and if I click here, you'll see that the interface has changed. Now, in fact, you'll see that Office is tracking the work that I do with various files and bringing this recent items wherever I go, including to attachments. You'll see that same carbon 3D printing proposal I was just working on. When I click with the same behavior that I had yesterday, what's really cool is that now Outlook attaches that to the mail, but not as an actual attachment, as a link that functions or feels like an attachment. You can see based on this little icon here that it's actually a cloud-based document and that recipients can edit. And what it has done is changed the permission so that the recipients of the mail will be able to edit the document. No more sending around links and saying, oh, I forgot to add you to the permission list. In addition, I can come here and attach as a copy, so actually download it and attach as a copy, or change permissions just right out of the gate. Very small affordance, super huge impact. Just in dogfooding this over the last couple of quarters at Microsoft, we've seen a tremendous increase in people sharing links instead of documents, and we think that's really, really important, not just to save space, but because it enables people to work on the same documents in the cloud. The other big thing that we've done is the introduction here on the left-hand side of something that we call groups. And this is a very big change. We've had Outlook for decades now and been incredibly, incredibly protective of this left-hand side. Most people who use Outlook know it is essentially a place for folders in which they can sort and process their mail. We have added a new node in addition to the inbox here that we literally call the groups node. The cool thing about groups is that by right-clicking, I can create a new group. This makes it a very grassroots, bottoms-up type of thing. And as I go into a group, you see some really nice capabilities. The way we think about this is as people work today, if your teams are anything like ours, they pull together some combination of Dropbox and Box, some sort of WebEx Skype thing, some sort of way to exchange messages, perhaps maybe a Yammer, and pull that together to create an infrastructure for their teams to work. We believe that at this point, dominant design is emerging, that we kind of know what capabilities many teams need, and that's exactly what a group is. A group contains within it a set of conversations. You can see these group conversations here. They are very much more social than normal email conversations. So as an example, I can like certain messages, I reply at the bottom, so it feels much more like a social thread. In addition, a group has a shared calendar. This is a shared calendar created when the group is created. I can put that side by side next to my calendar, or by right-clicking on any of these events, I can add any of these things, the occurrence or the series, to my own calendar, which makes it super helpful. It also has a shared notebook and shared files, and this will take us to the OneDrive for Business location for this group. And essentially what we'll see then is that the group allows us to bring together all of the tools that people need to actually work in persistent teams. So not only have we been focused on documents, but we've been focused on this idea of teams working together. This is OneDrive for Business. We've just done some very exciting updates to this. If you haven't seen them, take a look. Last week we made the announcement. And from here you can continue to work together in a really seamless type of way. One of the things that we announced 2 weeks ago with our launch is the introduction of a new service that attaches to groups, and we call it Office 365 Planner. If you're familiar with things like Trello, Planner essentially takes this idea of task management and brings it into this context of a group. And so again, you'll see those same groups down the left-hand side. You'll see a view of those things. And essentially what we're trying to do, as there's the same Coho sales team that I was at, is to bring structure to unstructured work. If you were working with Microsoft in the past, you could choose pretty ad hoc mail-based collaboration, or you could choose very structured, very rigid kind of Microsoft project Gantt chart resource allocation type of collaboration. This puts something squarely in the middle with Planner. I can see, for instance, this Coho sales team, there are 10 tasks completed, 18 tasks left. If I click down into it, I'll get an awesomely integrated, this is all integrated into Office 365, view of my plans. And I can easily take, as an example, these tasks and drag and drop them into buckets and move around to look at the various buckets I have. What's even more exciting than being able to move these things around or even edit the tasks is my ability then to come in and see a summary of what's happening in the project. Again, think of this as a way of bringing structure to fairly unstructured work. The experience is quite magical. It's very nice. I can see, for instance, that I got a whole bunch of late tasks on this project. I've got some that aren't started even, and I can just get a sense for what's going on. Very nice way to take kind of pretty ad hoc work and start to add structure to it in a way that helps me manage things. So again, all a part of an Office 365 group. That experience starts here with an Outlook. We can create groups easily. We can move across all the various components of what a group includes. And this new planner is a new part of Office 365 that adds capabilities to groups. You should basically think of groups as our home for teams. We'll continue to add new capabilities in a way that just helps people to get work done. We'll see a couple more at the end of this. So with that, you see all of this on a Windows desktop. Now, rather than run you through a parade of devices, I wanted to do one last thing, which is to switch to my iPhone. And for this demo, I literally had the team kind of bring my own personal iPhone up here and just take you over to it. I'm going to turn that on here, and we'll bring up my start screen. While they're doing that, you know, one of the things that we've done over the last 18 months has been work super, super hard on making sure that Office is cross-platform. Again, in 1989, when Office started, we started on the Mac, and most people don't know that. And while we love Windows, and Windows is absolutely home for us, and we want to differentiate over time with really cool experiences, the work that we're doing on the Mac, on iPhone, some of you may have seen that my team was on the stage at the Apple event showing off the iPad Pro and what we're doing there. Like, we are just so committed to our cross-platform investments here. What I thought I would do is just quickly show you a couple of those and what they look like, including some of the team investments. If you're not using Outlook for your mobile device, I'd really encourage you to do that. This is a view of my calendar. There we go. You can take a look at what's there. Nice calendar view. This is a view of my mail. Whoops. And it is an awesome, awesome app. In fact, having tried many different things across the years, we love the way the Outlook app performs on the iPhone. Once you move from the Outlook app, if you haven't tried that, I'd encourage you to give it a try. You can move over into the core apps. And so, for instance, I'll show you Word here. This is Word for the iPhone. We have it for Windows phones and for Android phones. You'll see that same recent documents list. In this particular case, it literally is my recent documents. I'm going to pull up a China framing memo that I was working on with the China team. I'm getting ready to go to China here fairly soon. And this will pull up right within the iPhone view, and I just wanted to give you a sense for how beautiful those documents look. This is the document. You could see that it's literally a document that we're working on. I won't let you look at all those numbers and how we're increasing our growth in China very carefully. But what is really cool about this is the capabilities that allow you to do things like edit If I click edit up here, you'll see instead of the ribbon, which really isn't appropriate when you have this type of real estate, we have this bottom section that's optimized for the thumb. So that allows us to go into the document and edit it. We also have what's called reflow for all phones. This will actually take the content and flow it naturally for the form factor that you're holding. And so all of a sudden you can see it becomes much more accessible to me, which is awesome. So it's a nice way to show off what's happening. And then finally, the last thing we have here is as we continue to build Collab in all of our various apps, up at the top right, it allows me to go ahead and share that document in the same way that we saw that sharing panel come out from the Win32, the desktop app. So we're doing a ton of really great work. The final thing I'll show you is our Groups app. I showed you Groups in Outlook. There's a dedicated Groups app that you'll see here as I click into this. Again, you won't see exactly the same groups because these are literally my groups. And I can, for instance, go into this ASG EDU group and take a look at how that renders on the phone. What I like to show when I show this off to folks is how we've taken the idea behind the apps and the experience and molded it for the form factor. So it's a bit different. We're still getting the conversations here. They're done in a much more card-like way. And you still have access, for instance, to your files and notebook up top. So it's a great way to see what's up. Again, I'd encourage you to go, you know, no matter what device you happen to carry or set of devices, go download these apps. You'll see that we really have focused on making them first-class apps. These are not kind of me-toos. These are not companions. These are meant to do everything you can do. We've got some great innovations that I'll be talking about towards the end of the presentation coming out on them. So that's a quick view through how we think about teamwork and networks. If we can cut back to the slides just really quickly, I'll talk to you about our second big theme. Satya said something when he first became CEO that I think is super important, which is, you know, as technology increases, the one thing that's staying pretty constant is human capacity. Sure, we're smart. Sure, we have the ability to try and be more efficient. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know about you, my children, our capacity is actually not changing nearly as quickly as the technology. So Satya has correctly said that what's scarce in all of this, meaning all the advancement we're seeing, is human attention. Everyone is clamoring for our attention. So the second really big theme for us is this idea of essentially what I'll call intelligence. Here we officially and formally call it personal and organizational insights. But the idea that the apps need to be smart. They need to do stuff on your behalf. We think this is so important because we're going to be just totally overwhelmed with the communication, with the content that is going to be required to kind of get stuff done in the modern age. Now, to show you what this looks like, I want to cut back to the surface and just show you how we've started to integrate these smart experiences into various apps. I'm going to start with a very simple one, which is something that we call Clutter. Clutter is a new service that's been integrated into Outlook. And what Clutter does is that it essentially is designed to remove noise out of your inbox. The whole idea here is that by watching you process mail, we can actually tell what's going on. It's very, very simple. You can see if I go back up to my inbox, I have a list of mails that I'm processing. You'll also see that I have a Clutter folder here that has an introduction to Clutter for me, as well as a number of notifications and other mails. Clutter sits in the background and literally watches how I delete mails, how I file mails, how quickly I associate an action with a mail, who I interact with, and then slowly and conservatively at first, it begins to move mail into this Clutter folder. The coolest thing about this is it's not a spam filter. This is literally looking at my behavior. And not only that, it actually has a conversation with me. Once a week at least, it will send me a mail that says, "Hey, Jared, over the last 7 days, I've moved the following messages into your Clutter box. If you didn't like any of them, just move them back. You drag and drop them back." And it adjusts its rules for what's happening. What you end up with, and I encourage you to try if you're on a trial or if you're already on Office 365, is an incredibly streamlined inbox. Now, the really cool thing is we're not deleting these things. You can see, for instance, that there are some notifications that might mean something to me. Oftentimes for me, for instance, newsletters end up being moved into my Clutter inbox. I go see those once every couple days, once every week or so. Then I can delete them on my own. But it does take the noise out of my inbox. It's just a very simple example of how we're taking kind of intelligence and we're putting it right into the apps themselves. Let me show you another couple of examples of what that looks like. Come down into PowerPoint. We'll look at a normal PowerPoint here. Everybody needs a good PowerPoint on organic chemistry. And we're just looking at a PowerPoint like everybody else would use and create. I'm going to move to slide 4. Here, as an example, I may decide that I want to get a little bit more context on something that's happening here on carbon dating. And I'm going to put my cursor here, right-click, and then do what's called a smart lookup. Now, what's really cool about this is now the app itself is going to take that information and it's going to send it out to do a Bing Insights query. You can see that it's bringing back radiocarbon dating, it's bringing back carbon, it's bringing back pictures related to carbon dating. Now, you can imagine if we just would have taken a query about dating and sent it out to the internet, that that's not what we would have gotten back. Be a lot of eHarmony stuff here, probably. And what we've done is Smart Lookup allows us to look at the context, not just of the block of text that it's in, not just carbon dating here, but also at carbon 14 and dead and death, to be able to pull out some meaning. Smart Lookup is our first step in the direction. You're going to see a lot more from us here as we help people to actually create content in really, really intelligent ways. Once I have information, what I might want to do is to be able to start to manipulate things in PowerPoint. As an example, hey, I might want to do something like add an animation. And what we have here is what we call the new Tell Me feature. Tell Me allows me to essentially flatten out the user interface and no longer worry about where something lives as a command, but just to get straight to it by doing a query. So as an example, I'm going to put in animation here. It's going to give me animation styles, and I'm just going to put a fly in. Immediately, literally with one click, I've gone from wanting to do something to doing that, and I can see that we have been able to make that happen, which is super exciting for us. Tell Me allows me to, again, flatten out the namespace, very quickly get things. If I wanted to take that same thing as an example and add a shadow, I'd get into effects and it would take me directly to the shadow. So it literally takes you to the command, which is really exciting for us. We can see all of these things come together as we move to Excel. And here in Excel, I'll take a look at a bunch of different data. I'm looking at data for a fictitious Lucerne publishing company. And I'll come in here and insert, and I want to insert a chart. And first thing I might want to do is to insert a recommended chart. In fact, we're going to do that recommended chart right there. And I'm going to come in and have it recommend that to me. And you'll see that there are a number of recommended charts where it's been looking at my data and saying, here's a couple of different ways to visualize. We have pie charts and bar charts. One of my favorites is a new one that we call a waterfall chart. A waterfall chart allows me to look at the debits and credits associated with revenue getting down to net income and actually visualize kind of how all of that's coming together. And so literally, with just a couple of clicks, the app is smart enough to look at the data, suggest something, and then construct the chart built on that. We'll see that same thing as we move to a couple of others. This is what we call a sunburst chart here. It's based off of this genre category data that you see. I can come in here as an example, and it's very responsive. If I make any changes to it, you'll see it move around and adjust. So we've got some good visualization happening. And then if I want to go ahead and select this chart and see it in a different way, I can create something that's called a tree map. And I'm going to turn that into a tree map, and immediately I kind of get a tree map visualization. So new charts and new ways to use things like Tell Me to get at those things. Finally, the last thing to show you is this idea of being able to really bring intelligence into data analysis. This is where we start to do forecasting. Here I'm going to come up and I'm going to say that I'd like to create a forecast of all of this data. This is historical publishing data. And immediately it's actually going to take the data on the page and literally create a forecast. Here's the expected value with an upper and lower bound. It's literally taking this and putting it in and giving me some options to tweak. So a lot of intelligence starting to go into the analysis of numbers. That intelligence combined with this concept of being able to use Tell Me to really quickly get at that stuff. So small enhancements that we think make a really big difference as people are really just trying to get work done. The final one I want to show you when it comes to intelligence is something that we call Delve. Delve is a really exciting new capability as a part of Office 365 that we think is going to have some huge applicability over time. What Delve allows us to do is it essentially allows us to take a look at kind of content that's relevant for you. And what Delve is you can think of as a personalized search engine that you could point at any set of information, including your email, your documents, your work that you're working on with teams, and it's going to bring up what is most relevant to you, and you see that here. I can see as an example that these things it is suggesting are very relevant for me. So as an example, I can see that here's the Northwind Traders Project Report. You always have to have one of those modified by Garth Fort at the end of August. I can see in this case kind of a quick view into what that is, and I could click down into it. I can move down into any one of these people and actually get a view of what Sean is working on and the activity associated with him and what he's working on. Again, all based on permission, so I don't see anything that I don't have access to, but a really interesting capability to start to look at data and information. Now, we think that Delve and this interface that you see here that's almost Pinterest-like is really useful for you to discover what your colleagues are working on, what's hot in your social networks within a larger organization. It gets even more interesting, though, when you start to apply that into what we call Delve Organizational Insights. This is where we actually take what people are up to, the activities associated with the team as an example, and start to do some analysis. This is a new capability coming out as a part of Office 365. Some pretty cool stuff. You can see as an example, you know, starting with Satya here in the middle, it analyzes the different teams that are working together and gives kind of a coding based on what work is being exchanged, emails, activities, meetings. You can see what's trending as people work together. You can see my own work-life balance, the time that I'm spending in meetings, my team's interactions by location. I can further look down into some additional reports and kind of really start to visualize and zoom in on a particular thing and see what's happening and filter by different types of interactions. We are really excited about the way intelligence not only can help people get things done, but organizations to be more effective. And Delve as a first step into personal productivity allows us to do Delve Org Analytics, which allows us to really jump into organizational productivity. So some really, really cool things here. The last thing I would show you, if we had some time, I'll just do a very quick nod to, is when you start to build new apps from the ground up, based on these principles of collab and intelligence, of kind of a new way of thinking, what you get is something that looks like Sway. I won't do a full Sway demo here, but just for my benefit, how many of you are familiar with Sway? You could do a demo. Okay, so maybe about half the audience. Sway for us is very exciting because it allowed us to break the paradigm of the printed page. Remember, that's where Word, PowerPoint, and Excel started. Sway allows us to reimagine how people author content and how they consume content. And we'll see that right here as I jump into what we literally call a Sway. Sways are very interesting because they're documents. They're essentially a way of presenting information. But what they do is they allow the document creator to essentially act as a movie producer. And the way you create a Sway is by creating a storyline, literally by dragging and dropping cards onto a storyline that allows you to put things like text and various captions and pictures and interactive things and even things that live on the web. Then what Sway does is it will do a layout for you. It just goes in and says, great, based on what you put and including the text and everything, I'm going to start to lay that out. And here we see a particular layout for a Sway. It's done some really interesting things with transitions. It set this particular Sway up a little bit more like a presentation, if you will. But it is literally the intelligence behind that has done all of this. I can tell it, hey, I don't really like the way you've set this up. Let's do a remix. Try again. It's going to take a moment, and it's going to, again, go look at the photos and all of the information. It's going to set it up in a different way. Here I have a totally different set of treatments. Same content, same storyline, now a different way of being set up. Finally, I'll do one last remix. It will often give me a vertical view here and allow you to see another one. What's really exciting is not only is the content creation here done in a very interesting way, but then when you consume on a device, Sway looks at the device and the real estate available and lays it out in a way that's just perfect for that particular device. So we've got both modern content creation and modern content consumption. So this is what it looks like when we start to put intelligence together with authoring in a way that we think is really, really exciting. All right, so now we've talked a bit about collaboration, essentially. We've talked about intelligence. So I'm going to cut over to essentially our last piece of what's important for us, and that is this idea of security. I mentioned in the beginning that security is so important. With more freedom, more devices, more access to content and information, there are more risks. And for us in Office and with Office 365, this is an incredibly important part of how we think about the overall development plan. We like to think of it in terms of what we call people-centric security. So the idea is that the security should be rock solid, but should get out of the way of the end user. It should be integrated into the apps and services that the end user uses to get their work done. And so with this new release, we've introduced three things that I'll just highlight very quickly. The first is data loss prevention, or what we call DLP. We've had DLP in Outlook for some time now. As you set policies at the organizational level and then go to send out things like a social security number or any type of what we would call kind of sensitive information, Outlook will actually take that and it will say, hey, I have a policy tip for you. You're breaking policy as you send this information outside of your organization. We've had that for a while. We've now taken data loss prevention and applied it to the clients. So the same policies that you set for Outlook now will cascade across Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and start to do pattern recognition of sensitive data and information. Really important for us. We've continued to work on all sorts of other types of infrastructure, including multi-factor authentication. You'll hear more about that over time here in the conference. And then finally, we've continued to beef up what we call IRM, or information rights management. And this allows us to do encryption of the data, not just kind of essentially at the PERMS level or permissions level, but actually at the document level, so that we can encrypt it even as it goes outside your firewall and people send information around. So this phones home, looks for permissions, and allows you to do very, very tightly controlled document level security. So we're super excited about this. You'll hear more about this over the course of the conference. I certainly would be able to hook you up if you want to know more about security. They are not the most exciting demos to do, so we're not going to demo them today, but they certainly are very interesting for organizations, super, super valuable. Finally, I just want to close out with this idea of where are we headed with Office going forward. We've talked about collab, we've talked about intelligence, we've talked about security. Those are our main themes. It's amazing how much Office has changed. We continue to do what we would call traditional releases. You see that on the left-hand side of the screen here. Hybrid and on-prem type releases. The cadence for those continues to be roughly every 2 to 3 years. We're not stopping that. We think there's demand for that out there. We have a good view of what our revenue stream looks like there. So that's important to us. But increasingly, new value is going to be pushed out as soon as we've got it. And that's going to be through these Office 2016 monthly updates here. So literally, you're going to start to see some amazing things hitting the clients. In fact, we have what we call an October fork for the clients coming out. Although I'm not ready to talk to you about what's coming out there, I think you're going to be amazed with the same type of value that we literally just launched in September coming out in these new clients. Now, the difference here is when new value comes out in 365, if you aren't on 365, you just won't get that new value until we do another big release, a snapshot. That may be 2 to 3 years out. That's the way it works. We'll continue to do security enhancements, but over time, what you'll see is the 365 versions of our products and the on-prem or traditional versions start to diverge until they come back together at a snapshot time, and then they'll diverge again. So that's the basic shape of what you'll see happening. What have we done lately? Well, we have done some amazing things. I certainly won't walk you through the last 12 months, but we have done some amazing things in terms of new enhancements that I'd encourage you to take a look at, because we have, again, if I think back to 9 years ago when I came here and we did this every 3 years, every month now we're really shipping some incredible things. Finally, the last thing I want to show you is kind of what's up next. Where are we headed? In the second half of this calendar year, things we haven't yet done, we have an Exchange Server vNext release that's coming right up, right around the corner. A SharePoint Server vNext preview that's coming up. We're breathing new life into SharePoint. We're really excited about the plan there. OneDrive for Business, I just mentioned that last week, in fact, that Sync vNext has just come out, so we're excited about that and some enhancements to Power BI. As we move into 2016, you'll start to see us really double down on these monthly updates, some exciting, exciting new features around Cloud PBX, PSTN conferencing and calling, and some expanded things related to security, including customer lockbox, where you can essentially bring your own key. So some awesome, awesome stuff coming as a part of the broader Office and Office 365 set of things to do. The thing I want you to think about is, up to this point, as people have thought about, yeah, but I'm not ready to go to the cloud, is how much work we've done in this release to make it so much easier for you to roll out a cloud-based app service. So that's what we think of Office being. We have some great flexible click-to-run options. I won't be addressing them in detail here today, but we do have some sessions that will be available to you as a part of the summit here, so you can take a look at what that looks like. And net, what you'll hear from us is very, very similar to what you heard from Colleen. I saw him going through the diagram. We will have a current branch, which is essentially our consumer branch, and then we have a current branch for business, very much aligned to what Windows is doing. The first is feature and security updates every month. And the second is security updates every month, but feature updates every 4 months. That gives businesses a little bit more time to kind of test and make sure they feel comfortable with the build before it goes out. So that is Office 2016. We are so excited. If I could leave you with one thing, it is that Office really going forward is going to be focused on this idea of taking the work out of working together. The way we work today is changing, and we think that there is such an opportunity for these apps to really help people to get more done. To close off and finish out today, I want to show you one last video. This is a very exciting video about a gentleman by the name of David McCandless. It shows how he is starting to use Office to do what he calls data reporting. It's an awesome example of kind of the new way of working, of the way insights and collaboration come together, and we'll use it to finish off the presentation. Let's go ahead and roll that film.
We have a lot of data. We're swamped in it. There's a lot of information, very little amount of meaning. I see that as an opportunity to convert all that into meaning and knowledge. I've been working as a journalist, and I realized that a single diagram could distill and coalesce a subject into one image. When I look at data, I feel like there's a story there, and I want to unveil it. I want to find it and reveal it. I get a lot of ideas from bewilderment, confusion. That's a sign that there's an information problem you can solve. 80% of my work is data, Excel, spreadsheets. For me, it's indispensable. Antibiotic resistance, different types of governments, biggest military budgets in the world, what's the best dog? Data feels to me like a raw kind of material, and if you get your hands dirty with it and you dig through it, it starts to come alive and reveal its structure. The first visualization is generated within Excel. Tabulating, sorting, ordering, tree map, sunburst. You see it immediately, you see the relationships, you see the significances. You emerge blinking a few hours later with hopefully something good.
And then it unpacks like a decision tree, all the different variables.
Cool, yeah, that sounds good. There's a lot of stuff inherent in data that needs a human touch. I like the way Sway combines interactivity and presentation.
And if you add all these up, you get a recipe for longevity. Be a married, happy, hippie party girl in senior management with a cat.
I find collaboration exciting. There comes a point where I need to be able to share it with others so we can build something out of it. They take it beyond my capacity. I think data is a great lens we can use to see things in a different light. It can open up new patterns. Information is beautiful. Data is beautiful. What was the world like before Excel was invented, before there were spreadsheets? It was kind of medieval.